This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type.
Last time, I talked about the condition Tourette's syndrome and how it can present itself in different people in different ways. Now, in the old days, we thought that Tourette's was rare and severe, but we now know that it is relatively common and often mild. It occurs worldwide in all cultures. And way back in 1972, the US National Institute of Health estimated that there were fewer than 100 people with Tourette's in the whole of the USA. But the current estimate is that it affects a bit less than 1% of the population. That's a bit under 3 million Americans. Males are 2 to 10 times more frequently affected than are females. Strangely, about 40 to 70% of Tourette's sufferers appear to have ADHD, that's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, while about 20 to 60% have obsessive compulsive disorder, that's OCD. In many cases, these conditions cause more distress to the patient than does the Tourette's. The so-called pure Tourette's, or Tourette's only, is the syndrome without the OCD, the ADHD, or other disorders. And this accounts for about 40% of those with Tourette's. In general, Tourette starts with simple motor tics, presenting first, say at 5 to 10 years of age, and the more complex motor tics appear later, with vocal tics developing at 8 to 15 years. Tourette's is usually worst during adolescence. And on average, in about two-thirds of Tourette's sufferers, the symptoms get better as they get older, but unfortunately, in one-third, they do not. Now, there can be unexpected side effects. For example, if the motor tics include head jerking, the head involvement can cause muscle strain to the neck and even make reading very difficult. One strange characteristic of Tourette's is that the symptoms wax and wane with no obvious pattern. The symptoms are unpredictable, being very different from day to day and from week to week. In general, Tourette's does not affect life expectancy. The cause of Tourette's? Well, at this stage, we do know that there is a very strong genetic component to the illness. It might be related to a site on chromosome 8 and possibly chromosomes 5 and/or 11. There might also be a non-genetic component to Tourette's, possibly as a reaction to being infected by a Streptococcus bacterium. But, on the other hand, most people do get a Streptococcus infection at some stage in their early life, and they don't get Tourette's. It seems that Tourette's is a disorder of the synaptic neurotransmitter chemicals that transmit information. Scanning studies of the brains of Tourette's sufferers show extra activity in those parts of the brain dealing with sensation, movement, and language. And so to summarize, we really don't know the cause or causes of Tourette's. And this is partly because the brain is fiendishly complex, but another reason is that we have very few animal models to compare and study, apart from some stallions with inherited repetitive grooming rituals and some Labrador dogs that will lick their paws until they are raw and abraded. But we do know that the risk factors include having a family history of Tourette's, of being male, and being under the age of 20 years. Now, Tourette's is known as a spectrum disease. This means that it has a whole range of symptoms, from short-lived and mild to chronic and severe. But fortunately, this is relatively uncommon. So some people with milder symptoms can cover it up in their daily life. But some cannot. Dr. Samuel Johnson, the writer, critic and poet, who back in the 1700s wrote the first modern dictionary of the English language, he had Tourette's. His biographer, Boswell, wrote that Dr. Johnson had nervous movements and would often continually repeat fragments of words or other sounds. He would suppress these tics with a great effort of his will, as he was much embarrassed by them. In more modern times, the actor Dan Aykroyd claimed in a radio interview that he had mild Tourette's. Athletes and musicians have claimed that they have tamed the restless energy and spontaneity of Tourette's to their own advantage. A few studies have shown that people with Tourette's can have a higher IQ and quicker motor skills than average. the famed neurologist and author, Dr. Oliver Sacks, writes that while, and I quote, "one must not romanticise Tourette's, one may have the rather rare situation of a biological condition becoming creative or becoming an integral part of the identity and creativity of an individual." Unquote. The florid symptoms that most people think typical of Tourette's syndrome are actually the least typical symptoms. And this is probably because they get all the attention. The majority of people diagnosed with Tourette's will never do the rude stuff. The rude words and rude gestures appear in only 10 to 15% of people with Tourette's, and then only for a very small fraction of the day. And the rest of the time, people with Tourette's are just like the rest of us.
What does it mean? Why is it so?